So check your eyes on any given day, but they'll also research pitcher's ERAs from the AL to the NL to the minor leagues. John and Zeke got you covered, Yes, please, now it's time to sit back, listen and relax, because you're about to hear at least an hour of baseball fact. Just two dads telling jokes, and they're probably wearing Crocs. But ladies and gents, here come the Dugout Docs. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Once again, it's the Dugout Docs, and tonight we have not just one and two, right? Dugout Docs of myself and Zeke, commentary joke, one or two, right? But we also have a third Dugout Doc joining us tonight. It is our good friend, Logan England from Missouri. Zeke, first of all, how's it hanging? And then second of all, shortly after, Logan, how you been?
I'm doing great, John. Been a good week. We're starting to warm up here in Tennessee, which is awesome with the time change coming as well. We got some sunshine outside when you get off work, and that just makes the heart feel good. So doing great here in Tennessee, but let's welcome in Logan. What's up, man?
Yeah, John, Zeke, good to be here again. It's been too long, but time just flies by, you know, and I'm ready for another good ball season.
Yes, absolutely.
Chop on.
Absolutely. Yes, Logan is a Braves fan. I'm outnumbered here tonight. But that's okay. Good to get some fresh opinions here on the podcast. Logan, what have you been up to? You mentioned it's been about 2 years. I know you're still in Missouri. Everything been going pretty well in the Show Me State?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been great. So recently, about a month ago, I moved back to my hometown, Farmington. And big news for Farmington. Farmington has about 20,000 people right now, right? So the other day, McAllister's opened up their first location in Farmington.
Ooh.
McAllister's Deli.
So that was big for us.
Mm-hmm. Were the lines wrapped around the roads? Did they have to direct traffic with the cops? Or
It's been pretty busy. I've been once, and it flowed pretty good. But, yeah, it's been busy. Now, the other part of that, there have been some hot rumors, and they're probably more than rumors at this point. There's actual fire here. Chick-fil-A has plans to build at the OfficeMax location that they're tearing down.
Wow. That's when you know you've made it.
That's a progression. That is going from, you know, that's like, man, I don't want to say going from triple A's to the majors, but that's certainly a jump from double A up to triple A ball. There's a substantial jump when you get a Chick-fil-A.
It would be a big deal. It would be. And I don't want to jinx anything, but I think they're really close to getting a deal done.
I hope so. I hope they can, you know, make sure they don't get tendered, right? Because chicken tender. I just got all.
I had dad jokes all over the place tonight.
Horrible dad jokes.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one. But, you know, how many times do you see trades fall through at the trade deadline? You know, the rumors get out, you know, jump the gun, and it all falls through. So,
yeah. I thought and then somebody like Erod just comes in and just kiboshes the whole thing, right?
I thought Blake Snell would be a Yankee a month ago, and here we are, right? So we can't say Farmington's getting a Chick-fil-A until we get pen to paper, but that's exciting, Logan. How far would you have to travel to get some of that delicious Chick-fil-A fried chicken as it stands?
Well, the closest one would be about an hour.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I would only be going once a week in that case.
So, Zeke, John, let's hear your Chick-fil-A order real quick.
Okay, Chick-fil-A order. Zeke, do you want to start?
Number one combo with sweet tea. Let's go.
Number one. Okay, is number one just the that's just standard, right?
Standard chicken sandwich. Yep.
I'm a spicy chicken deluxe, which I love. I like the cider fries, obviously waffle fries with Chick-fil-A sauce. Then I wash it down with a nice Diet Coke to keep it healthy.
Oh yes, get cut down on the sugar and calories.
How dare I add those extra calories in there? So you gotta throw a Diet Coke in there.
Yeah,
taking care of yourself. Yeah.
What about you, Logan?
What about you, Logan? What's yours?
I like the number one. I like the large fry. I'll get a 6-count nugget also.
Okay.
And a lemonade.
Ooh, nice.
And a lemonade. All right. That sounds good.
I thought Logan looked a little more muscular, and I think it's because he's been pounding the protein at Chick-fil-A, you know?
That's right.
Getting ripped.
I get the macros, yeah.
Yeah.
But when I was working with you back in Memphis when we were interns together. What a time. You're a big Raising Cane's guy. Are you still a Raising Cane's fan, or has it gotten a little overhyped recently? What do you think?
It's still my number one.
Okay.
Still my number one. I'd rather have it than Chick-fil-A, but you know, I'll take Chick-fil-A any day.
Is it the cane sauce? Is that the difference maker for you?
The sauce does it. Yep. Yep.
You know, I remember Logan famously, not a big Zaxby's guy.
Love Zaxby's. You know, Zaxby's, you know, is kind of comparable to the Kansas City Royals in my book.
Wow. Shots fired. I can't wait to hear his hype for the Kansas City Royals then, because Zaxby's is awesome.
Zaxby's.
Can't wait to hear this case.
Well, yeah, we could talk about chicken.
Hey, well, we've got some pretty bad food opinions here on the podcast, I must say. I remember back to optometry school and John being very vocal and very strongly opinionated on his pizza choice, which just happened to be a Little Caesars. And I made sure to clarify that, okay, yeah, sure, I'll eat Little Caesars if I want a good value dinner, but if I could pick any pizza out there, Little Caesars is not the pizza I'm going for. John, is that still your favorite?
I still love Little Caesars, man. I think the thing is,
even now that they've jacked the prices up?
Well, I mean, compare, everybody's jacked the prices up. So comparatively, it's still a pretty good value. When you look into the analytics of the pizza, you know, the pizza game, I think you would find that you get a lot of, you know, a lot of value and a lot of good taste that is very, very, you know, worth the money is what I would say. I love Little Caesars. It's a Michigan company. It's the best pizza. Pizza, pizza. So nice they said it. So nice they say it twice.
There we go. There you go.
Well, fellas, we could talk about food all night long. Is this a food podcast?
No.
No, it's not. We got to give the people what they came here to listen to, and that is some baseball talk. Are you guys ready for our AL Central and our NL Central, I would say, preview here tonight? You guys ready to dive into it a little bit?
Let's dive in. I can't wait to hear John's opinion on his favorite team out there.
Yes.
Team that resides in Minnesota.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. No, I hate this first team that we're talking about, but we'll talk about them anyway. I don't know if I'd even say I hate them necessarily, but they're kind of an anti-hero right now in my life. And that is the reigning AL Central champions. We're talking about the Minnesota Twins. In my opinion, right, last season, you could say for the Twins was a pretty good success. They actually won a playoff series, which is fantastic for them, right? Hasn't been done in however many years. They only had 87 wins on the season. And guys, when I look at some of the offseason moves that we have for Minnesota, kind of seems like they feel like they've got a good thing going. There's plenty of guys that they've lost. I'll start with about half of their rotation. We're missing Sonny Gray, who's now in St. Louis, Kenta Maeda, who is now a Detroit Tiger, Tyler Mallett as well, Emilio Pagan in the bullpen, guys like Joey Gallo and Michael A. Taylor gone as well. Guys, to me, it just kind of feels like that's a lot of starting rotation power that they're going to be sorely missing as the season wears on.
Absolutely, John. You got some big names there. Sonny Gray did awesome last year, pitched really well. Kenta Maeda has kind of been a guy that's been off and on throughout the years, but looking great this spring for the Tigers. I know we'll talk about that a little more later. But Joe Ryan was hurt last year. Is that right? Or did I make that up?
I don't know.
I made that up. But in either case,
He did have a groin injury.
Okay. Either case, you still look at their lineup, and they have some pretty solid firepower at the top of their lineup with Lopez, Ryan, Bailey Ober. Then you have a couple of guys in the back end that have shown runs in the past. So, Logan, what do you think? Are they going to be able to keep up with this rotation that they have?
I'm not as familiar with the AL Central, and that's going to be clear through this podcast. But
that's absolutely okay. Yeah.
And especially the pitchers for the Minnesota Twins. I got nothing for them. Obviously, they've got some good hitters, and I like their lineup. I think they're the favorites. obviously in the Central, but I got nothing for their rotation.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And I think you bring up the strength of this team, and that is the batting lineup. And a lot of the guys that we talked about are missing were primarily either starting pitchers or depth guys. Guys like Joey Gallo, Michael A. Taylor. They did also trade away Nick Gordon, but there's a lot of nice pieces in that lineup. We're talking about Byron Buxton, who's been in and out a lot, but Royce Lewis, who's also been in and out in terms of injuries a lot. Carlos Correa, Max Kepler. They added Carlos Santana, who's a solid veteran bat, in there as well. So I would agree. I think that Minnesota could put up some runs this year. But again, the thing that worries me if I'm a Twins fan is you're asking for a lot of production out of guys like Buxton and Royce Lewis, who really just haven't been able to stay on the field. I think that's my biggest concern if I'm moving forward with the Twins.
So Royce Lewis was not a name I was familiar with. And I went through earlier today and I saw his stats from 2023 and I was really impressed. And I was kind of wondering, why I hadn't heard that name, but I guess it's the injuries.
Yep.
Yeah. Royce Lewis is a guy that has been a pretty highly touted prospect coming up to the minor leagues and somebody that has really done well when he's played. Very similar to Byron Buxton. He's an all-star caliber player when he's on the field, but he just can't seem to stay healthy. Royce Lewis was probably one of the biggest parts of the Twins winning the first series last year in the playoffs. He came out, hit a bunch of home runs, and then he eventually got hurt. Right, John?
In the postseason?
I think he had an injury towards the end and didn't play in the second series. I could be wrong, but either way, injuries has been his downfall. But if they can get guys like Buxton and Lewis, Correa too, for that matter, stay on the field and just be healthy, this could be a really dangerous lineup at the top, especially, and really have a well-rounded lineup all throughout.
Yeah, for sure. And you do bring up, we're talking about Royce Lewis and Byron Buxton without talking about the spotty medical history of Carlos Correa. You're absolutely right. I mean, that's not a surefire thing either. But, I think I just decided to pull up Royce Lewis stats here. He played in only 58 games last year with Minnesota. But in those 58 games, he had 15 home runs and 52 RBIs. So that's, you're talking about averaging, a home run one every almost four games there. Pretty impressive. But I just don't know. Here's my issue with Minnesota, okay? Another guy who I really liked in the lineup who also had injury problems was Jorge Polanco, right? So Jorge Polanco gets traded to the Mariners. So you're losing a little bit of juice there. I just think that the Twins had a real chance this offseason to put a stamp on the division and say, hey, we not only won the division last year, but we made it to the playoffs and we actually broke through and won a wild card series. Let's try to do something. Let's try to compete with some of the big dogs in the American League. Our constant narrative here has been in the NL, you have the Braves and you have the Dodgers, and then you've got everybody else. In the American League, it's a lot more wide open. Yeah, there's some, you probably say that Houston and Texas are probably your favorites, maybe throw in Baltimore, but things could go really south for these teams. The Twins had a chance to really cement themselves as a contender to make it to the World Series, and they just fell flat. So if I'm a Twins fan, I'm kind of pissed off at all the moves that I'm seeing. As a Tigers fan, I'm thrilled about it because I still think the door's open because I think there's some issues with this roster.
Absolutely. High potential roster with some gaps to fill. Could you see, Logan, with the Twins having maybe a deficit in their pitching, going out for Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell now that they're saying they may be looking at a one-year deal as opposed to a long-term deal?
I don't know. If you're Jordan Montgomery at this point, is that all you can do? I don't know.
That's a big point of contention with we hear about these Scott Boras guys, right? You talk about Cody Bellinger, Matt Chapman, and now you got these two pitchers in Snell and Montgomery. And it's just been a real fail for them this year. They've all had contracts where they signed way below what we thought they were going to get. They do have a lot of opt-outs in their contracts, which is beneficial to the player. But yeah, I mean, time is running out. I mean, we have games starting in Korea, in a week and a half, less than 2 weeks. So I agree with you, Logan. I think that the market for Jordan Montgomery is pretty much gone. I know Zeke was talking with me before. He wants the Braves to take another look at those two
guys. Oh, that'd be great. I will say this. The Twins already have the highest expected payroll in the AL Central at $116 million. That puts them 19th overall in terms of payroll. Do they want to spend even more?
I mean, but you still look at it. I mean, 19th out of 30 teams, if you want to win the World Series, I feel like you do have to spend more. And that's kind of what I thought the Twins were going to do. I thought they would at least try to retain Sonny Gray, who, when he's out there and pitching well, is a Cy Young caliber player, had a sub-3 ERA this past season, but they didn't even re-sign their own guys. So I don't see – I mean, maybe they just trust their guys a lot. I just don't see this as – a front office that is really, really making that push for a postseason, triumph.
Yeah, absolutely. Just seems like win the division and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And I don't know. If I'm a fan, I'm not loving that at all.
I think what we're going to find is, and me and John have talked about this before, the AL and NL Central teams just kind of seem to stay. They don't get out and they don't do a whole lot. They don't really make the big signings. They're just kind of there. Let's win the division and kind of sneak into the playoffs and see what happens. That's always kind of the vibe I get.
Yeah. Sorry. In terms of payroll, I've got it here. So Twins 19th, Royals 20th, Tigers 22nd, White Sox somewhere 18, 19, somewhere in there, Guardians 28th. So it's not a division that spends much money.
No.
Yeah.
It's not, and I think that's kind of been, I think the teams are kind of looking around and they're like, that's all we got to do, right? That's all we have to do is be better than Cleveland, right? Or some of these other guys. And honestly, as a Tigers fan, I'm looking at this Twins roster and I'm like, that's all we got to beat. Really? Because I'm not a big Carlos Correa guy. I'm really not. And I like baseball players who can consistently stay on the field and produce value. And I just don't see a lot of that with Minnesota. And I think it's also interesting because they've spent some time the last couple of years acquiring guys like Gio Urshela, right? Or Isaiah Kiner-Falefa in the Josh Donaldson trade. They had guys like Joey Gallo, Michael A. Taylor, even guy like Nick Gordon. Like, they had a lot of depth. They had a lot of pieces who could kind of fill in the gaps. But when you're trading away Jorge Polanco and now you're really relying on a lot of these injury-prone guys to play a full 160 games, I mean, wheels could fall off in Minnesota. I hope they do. I mean, not injury-wise, but I hope they fall. I do. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not sold here.
One name I want to point out as we kind of close it up on the Twins is Edward Julian. Mm. Guy that was kind of up and down a little bit last year. He was drafted in the 18th round back in 2019, so they don't even have a lot of draft capital in him. But when he came up, he hit really well. Ended up having an average of .263. Which I would say is about average, but he hit 16 home runs, has a bit of a speed complex to him as well, and really could be a guy that breaks out for him at the top of a lineup that has some good power hitters hitting behind him. So my guy to watch for the Twins is Eduardo Julian, their second baseman, and I think he could be a big component of a good, successful year for Minnesota. Mm.
Hopefully not successful, but yes. I'm kidding. Well, that's the Twins. I would agree with Logan did mention earlier. He said probably the presumptive favorites, and I would agree. I think on paper, they're still probably the Vegas odds favorite to win the AL Central, and they do have the firepower. They do have some pieces there that warrants that, as well as being the defending champion. But a team right below them is the Cleveland Guardians. So the Cleveland Guardians are kind of in an interesting mode here. Terry Francona, longtime manager of the Boston Red Sox, as well as the Cleveland Indians / Guardians, is gone. He's retired now. So there's a bit of turnover in terms of management and a little bit of oddities going on here with this roster. A lot of departures. Reynaldo Lopez, who actually finished as a reliever in Cleveland at the end of the year, is now with the Braves. Lucas Giolito, who is a part of, if you remember that weird Giolito was initially traded to the Angels, and then they dumped everybody that they acquired, pretty much giving up on the season. He was picked up on waivers by the Guardians. He's gone. Cole Calhoun is gone as well. And really not a whole lot of additions. You'll see here on the sheet, we've got Estevan Florian. We got Scott Barlow to help shore up that bullpen. And a Cody Huff, who's going to act as presumably a backup catcher here in a trade where they traded Cal Quantrill over to the Rockies. So not a whole lot of moves for Cleveland, a team that's kind of stuck in this sort of baseball purgatory here. Looking at some of the lineup here, I mean, I'm really trying to grasp some straws at things to be excited. I think Stephen Kwan's a guy that's always been consistent for them at the top of the lineup, a high on base guy. You've got Jimenez, you've got Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, Ramon Laureano, right? Guys like that in the lineup. Anything really jumping out to you guys? Anything that you'd be excited about for Cleveland this year?
I am excited to see Braves legend Stephen Vogt lead the team.
There you go.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah, I think he spent a year or two in Atlanta. Had some memorable moments.
Oh yeah.
Behind the plate. And it's funny. I was brushing up on my Guardians 2024 information, and I saw some videos of some players talking about Stephen Vogt being the new manager, and they were saying, yeah, it's great to have this young guy, a fresh look, energetic coach, and it's just a complete 360 from, when he was playing. He was the old guy who could barely make it down the first base line. So it is just a matter of perspective,
Yeah, that's so funny. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
I don't really have anything on that. On the Indians here, and it all comes back to what you
me, Guardians.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I apologize, people. I have 25% Cherokee in my blood. I can
there
say
you
that.
Go. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, they literally did nothing this offseason that makes you excited. The Indians have always been a team that's kind of relied on their pitching to kind of get them through and just be able to develop that as a farm system. Their hitting does just enough to get by and really relies on clutch hitting from Jose Ramirez. I was just looking at this, actually, because I was thinking this would be a great, great opportunity for somebody like Ramirez to get traded. But he just signed a long-term deal with the Guardians and really kind of plays out to be like a Mike Trout sort of player. One team, kind of stick through the tough years, just go with it. But yeah, there's really not a lot to talk about because I don't get excited about many of the names here.
I think one of the big things to watch is not necessarily going to be the Guardians themselves, but I think it'll be a name that's going to be floating around, already has been, and probably will be even more so towards the deadline, is Shane Bieber, who's kind of been the lead ace in Cleveland for a while, but I believe he's on the last year of his contract. He's been a hot trade target.
He is.
So it'll be interesting to see where he gets moved to, who's gonna make a play for them if the Guardians are out of it here. His production, I decided to pull him up on Baseball Reference, and since his Cy Young season in 2020, he's been a little shaky. He had a pretty good 2022 where he started 31 games, had a 2.88 ERA to go with, I believe it was 198 strikeouts there. But last year, only had 21 starts, kind of had a little bit of hiccups injury-wise. ERA ballooned up to 3.8. So not necessarily the most consistent, but really good pitcher. I think he's going to provide a lot of value to whatever team he ends up with. And then I think Zeke mentioned Jose Ramirez as well. I mean, this guy is he's just kind of a solid staple in that lineup. He's kind of going down with the ship, for better or for worse. But he's a guy that always kills the Tigers every time he steps up to the plate.
He's a good player, fun player to watch.
He is. He's solid and reliable. But I think the power lies in the rotation, right? Tristan McKenzie's a guy that we haven't talked about. He's another guy that struggles with staying on the diamond. But when he does, he's pretty great as well.
Yeah, I think a guy that I'll be watching this season will be Gavin Williams. He's a guy who came out with a lot of prospect type, prospect pedigree. Had a little bit of a rough start last year, but I think he's got the tools and the mechanics to have a great season. So if I'm looking for anybody, I'm looking at Gavin Williams this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I this isn't a team, you know, even if they play well, Cleveland's not going to be a team that's going to bring up a lot of headlines, I don't think. I think that's fair to say. This seems like a team that's probably hovering around, you know, if they get to 80 wins, I think that's a more than an accomplishment for Cleveland. I think it's probably going to be a rough year. And I think you might see, it's possible that you might see what happened in Chicago. I'm talking about the White Sox, the South Side, happen in Cleveland with some of these pieces here this year. We'll see. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but could be a long year on Lake Erie.
So, agreed, John.
Yeah. So that's enough about the Cleveland Guardians, the team that I really want to spend time talking. Okay. Or the one that Zeke and I did for quite a while in one of our preview podcasts is my favorite team, of course, the Detroit Tigers. We spent a lot of time discussing the Tigers previously. We talked about their additions with Kenta Maeda, who had a great outing today. We also talked about Jack Flaherty, who's had a little uptick in his velocity, Andrew Chafin into the bullpen, Gio Urshela, who's going to be a great third base glove, and Mark Canna, who's going to be a utility guy, can play almost every day in the outfield. So I love those additions personally. But I'm kind of interested to hear, Logan, what's your take on the Tigers? Having sifted through what we have to offer a little bit, are you high, low, or kind of medium on Detroit?
I have here in my notes, I'm excited about the Tigers.
Yeah, that's right.
I really am. This goes back a couple of years, John. You were telling me a few years back, you know, they've got pieces coming up. They've got a plan. They have a plan. It's just going to take a couple of years. And sure enough, here we are, second in the division last year. And I saw this. They were tied for the best in-division record in baseball in 2023. I'm sure you knew that.
Yep.
It's impressive. So these young guys, they're developing. They have a plan. It's coming to fruition. I think the division is in reach, John.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear you say that. That's music to my ears, Logan. It feels like there's kind of a different fire. So you're right. We played great against the AL Central last year. Don't look up the Tigers' record against the AL East in 2023 because that's going to be the reverse story. But I think you're right. I mean, there's a couple of guys that we've been waiting for a while here. Tarik Skubal and Casey Mize, I mean, we've been hearing their names a lot. They got sidelined by injuries, so things are delayed a little bit than what I was first anticipating for. But the thing that I like is it just feels different. I mean, these guys are competitive. They're fighting. There's a lot of guys fighting for that last rotation spot. And the thing is, a lot of us Tiger fans don't really know who's going to get the fifth rotation spot because there's a healthy amount of competition. There's multiple guys who could fill that role. One quote that I heard on a podcast this last week is, Tarik Skubal was named the Tigers opening day starter. And they asked him, they said, hey, Tarik, this is your first time, you know, opening day starter. How does it feel? He's like, it would feel better if I'm starting a playoff series, is what he said.
Hey, nice response.
I love that response. I love that. There's just kind of this edge to the Tigers. And I think these guys are young. I think they're hungry. And I think they really, really want it. So we've got a smart guy who's evaluating lots of talent in the front office. We've got a very smart manager. And I know he hasn't had a lot of talent to do it with, but I think AJ Hinch is really good at analytical and game-making decision. He's a lot better than what people give him credit for. So I'm with you, man. I think this could be the year, especially when you look at that the lack of moves by the Twins that could be knocking on the door.
Well, from the outside looking in, and this looks like a team that if I was a player, I'd want to play for. You mentioned the healthy competition, the drive and the motivation some of these players have. And I think that's what you see. They want to be good. As opposed to some of the other teams in the division, if I played for some of those other teams, you know, showing up to work every day, I'm sure would rather, you know, show up to work at the Detroit Tigers ball field than some of these other teams.
Absolutely. And they're pushing each other. I was telling Zeke right before, reports out of camp are saying that a lot of the starting pitchers are 2 to 3 miles per hour up in terms of velocity compared to this time last year. So they're working things out. They're figuring out. They're finding these diamonds in the rough and working out together. And it seems like it's a good community. I'm hoping the Detroit Lions culture is starting to permeate over to Comerica Park. So that's what I'm hoping for there. Zeke, any thoughts, man? I know we've talked ad nauseum about the Tigers, but if they get brought up, I'm gonna have a little chat about them.
Absolutely, John. I'm so excited about seeing Tariq Skubal out there. I really think he could have a Cy Young year, and to see that to go along with the trend or culture that's trending in the right direction, man. I love it. I mean, who knows? I might need to be a Detroit fan in general by the time this thing's over with.
There you go. I'll try to convince you guys. I'll make sure if we actually have a decent April, you guys are going to know about it. Okay, I promise.
Hey, I expect it.
Yes. Well,
how about we talk about the team I'm excited about, John?
I was going to say, we opened up the podcast here with Logan with some pretty stark takes on the Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
The guy from Missouri himself is not loving what's going on the west side of the state. Logan, tell me about the Kansas City Royals. What are your thoughts here?
Well, you know, Kansas City is probably, I don't know, 5 hours away from where I'm at. So, you know, it's Cardinals country. It's not Royals country. You don't hear about the Royals. So I had to do some research. So obviously 106 losses last year. Franchise worst. But what really bugs me is when you do hear things about the Royals, it's like, oh, I love their style of play. I just love how they play and that old school type of baseball where you're stealing bases. And yeah, that's great. But there's a lot of ways to win a baseball game. And the Royals haven't found any of them. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Can I take an aside there for just a second? So I was listening to a podcast the other day, and, you know, I love podcasts. And this was actually a health-related one. Don't ask me how I ended up here. But this guy was basically having an argument with another doctor. And this other doctor was making a bunch of wild claims on nutrition and what's good and bad for people. And he was the type of guy that was saying, you might as well eat a Hershey's candy bar. And I quote, you might as well eat a Hershey's candy bar than blueberries or grapes. It was grapes, because grapes are just fructose bombs, and you might as well just eat a Hershey's candy bar. So, you know, say what you want about this guy. But then the other guy, he also kept going back to the fact that, oh, when back in the old days, you know, back in the second century, we were doing this and people were eating that, and, you know, there's seasonality to your fruits and vegetables and whatever. And the doctor who was hosting the podcast was like, and how long did those people live for? 30, 40, 50 years at most, maybe? Why would we want to eat like them?
That's so true.
And I was like, you know, that's a great point. Because a lot of times we talk about, well, let's do it the natural way, but that doctor made a great point. Yeah. I want to live to like 80 or 90. So
yeah.
Let's do it the wrong way. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. The old way doesn't always work that well, right?
No. And the Royals, when we're talking about the Royals too, I think that's so funny is they're so committed to playing this small ball type of game, and they have for a while, ever since they won the World Series. They've never been a big free agent market destination. I mean, let's just call it what it is. But I remember a distinct point, guys, in 2022. I just pulled up the standings here. At the end of 2022, the Tigers have won 66 games. Very disappointing year. 66 games. The Royals had won 65. And I remember a lot of people said, well, one thing we can say is these two teams are going to be a lot better in 2023, right? They can only take a step forward. Well, the Tigers went from 66 wins up to 78. The Royals went from 65 wins down to 56. So they lost 9 more games last year than they did the year prior. They were only 6 games clear of the Oakland Athletics, who were intentionally trying to be horrible, right? And we're talking about a team that are like, oh, Bobby Witt's coming back. MJ Melendez, he's going to be great. They had Salvador Perez coming off a nearly career year. Even guys like, remember the hype around Brady Singer? I mean, Brady Singer sucked last year. So these Vinny Pasquantino, we can continue with him as well, right? He's been hurt all the time. So the fact that you're in the middle of a rebuild and you're losing nine more games with all these guys who now have another year out of experience in 2023. It was really disappointing. So I'm with you, Logan. I think it's time that we stop giving all these excuses for the Royals, because they just kind of suck. Sorry.
Can I?
I'm with
can
you.
Can I just be the devil's advocate here?
Oh, Lord. Yes. Go ahead.
Here we go. So, can we all agree that it can't get worse, but it could only get better?
That's what I said.
Can we make that argument? I think we can make that argument. Okay. So here we go. MJ Melendez. Uh-huh. Is he overrated? Maybe.
Yes.
But the man's a monster. He's got a monstrous swing. If he puts it together and he gets his timing down, I could make the case for him. Not saying he will, but I'm making the case. Bobby Witt, I generally think that he is a great talent. I think he's going to be good. He's going to be not a Mike Trout player, but a Mike Trout-esque player, where he's going to be the face of the franchise. He's locked into the Royals for what? How long? 11 years?
11. Something like that. Monster contract.
Stinks for him, but he's there. Vinny Pasquantino. Still, I consider him a sleeper at this point.
Yeah, but he played in 72 games in 2022, 61 games in 2023. He has a total of 19 home runs in the majors. I think Vinny P is the definition of overrated.
Making the case for him, though, John. If you add his games from 2022 to 2023, that makes a full season. That's what he's going to get this year. He's going to be a backup all-star in the all-star game.
So you want
to be coming off the bench.
You want one of your lead power hitters to have 19 home runs per the season? You're okay with that?
Okay. He's an on-base guy, John. He's an on-base guy. Okay. He'll get better. Hunter Renfro, he's been up and down from time to time. And I don't even know the rest of the guys in the lineup. But hey, everybody's talking up
Cole Reagans.
Now,
they are.
I'm going to forget what you said about Brady Singer and how everybody was excited about him last year. And I'm just going to go with it for a second. Cole Reagans had some spurts last year towards the end of the year when he got called up, where he just looked dominant. 113 strikeouts over 96 innings. He did have a 3.47 ERA. But he's generally a guy that I think he actually has the firepower that can get the job done. Mix that with a guy, Seth Lugo, who's kind of been a journeyman. He's been in the bullpen, been in the rotation. He's kind of been one of those starter sort of – shoot, what do they call him? When they have a relief.
Yeah, like a starter. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Opener. First couple innings, yeah.
So, that's about it. If I'm being honest, nobody really sticks out in their bullpen.
I will give them Michael Wacha. Nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice ad. He's a fine starting pitcher. Seth Lugo, he likes being a starter. He had a couple good starts in San Diego. But Cole Reagans was – did they get Cole Reagans in the Chapman trade? Is that how they ended up with him?
Trade with Texas. Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I think Cole Reagans is a bright spot. I think it was really smart to sign Bobby Witt to a long-term extension, just because Kansas City, as I said earlier, is not going to get a lot of free agent buzz. So you kind of have to get your homegrown talent and lock them up to a big time deal. So I like that for them.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they're just trying to fill out a roster at this point. And I don't know. We'll see. I hope. I would love for Detroit and Kansas City to be the top two teams in the AL Central this year. I would. I just don't think the Royals are going to be able to play their part.
Yeah. Yeah. This is another team that if there is a veteran player out there that at least has a little bit of upside, especially a pitcher, probably not. I mean, they're not going to sign Snell. They're not going to sign Montgomery. But this is the way that you rebuild your farm system, is you go out and you sign a veteran player. You know you're not going to need them at the trade deadline, and then you get a prospect or two out of it.
That's how they got Cole Reagans, right?
Yeah. Yes. So that's what they need to do. They need to go out and kind of scoop up some of these guys that are still available in free agency.
That's why I don't necessarily love the two-year deals for Michael Wacha and Hunter Renfro, because I don't think that's their plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got to have a better plan, because right now, let me tell you this, all right? The Royals
pay
Royals payroll is estimated to be somewhere around $106 million, right?
How much of that is Bobby Witt alone, right?
Well, this might surprise you then.
Okay.
Their highest paid player this year, from what I'm seeing, is going to be Salvador Perez at $20
million. Yeah.
And that's a catcher that takes up one-fifth of your payroll. So what – there's got to be a plan here because that's not a good plan.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Their three highest paid players this year is going to be Perez, a catcher, slash DH for that matter, Michael Walken, and Seth Lugo. That does not scream exciting.
No.
Hey, the most exciting thing about the Royals, okay, in my opinion, as we wrap up the Royals, is if you did not listen to the Central preview from last year, it might be one of our fan favorite segments of all time. Do you remember what this was?
Is this about Rob Kardashian?
This was about Rob Kardashian.
Rob Kardashian. Yeah.
So if you didn't listen to last year's preview, go about halfway through the podcast. I think it's at about the hour and 5 minute mark, roughly. And go check out our segment on the Kardashians. It was a hit.
There you go. That's Kansas City for you. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, Kansas City doesn't fit in anywhere. I mean, everybody cares about the Chiefs in Kansas City. They don't care about the Royals.
Yeah.
We'll let them have it. It's kind of like how everybody in Detroit, we don't acknowledge the Pistons. They just, you know, it's all about the Lions, right? So, yeah. Well, very good. So there's Kansas City for you. Logan, not impressed. Zeke, trying to impress us, but Logan.
I tried. I talked myself out of it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, a team that's probably sinking, you know, lower as well in terms of trajectory, Chicago White Sox. Really, last year was just a complete deconstruction of the roster. We saw them move everybody, not everybody, but a lot of pieces at the deadline. We saw Giolito go. We saw Lynn go. We saw Tim Anderson didn't go because they probably couldn't trade him. A guy that they traded that I didn't love is Jake Berger, who's been killing it in Miami. They traded him away as well. So there's even more departures this offseason with Jose Urania, a veteran in Elvis Andrus, Tim Anderson, who we talked about last week, not very productive. Liam Hendricks and Mike Clevenger gone as well. Not a whole lot of you guys might want to talk a little bit about this trade here when the Braves, they literally just dumped a bunch of their players into Chicago. That's all it was. It was just to open up spots in the 40-man roster, right?
Yeah.
Trade away Soroka, Nicky Lopez, Jared Schuster, all that. So not much going on there. Go ahead.
Let me start out this discussion. Logan, what do you think of whenever you think of Jose Urania, one of the guys that the White Sox lost?
So what comes to mind is a game I was at in Atlanta. I believe it was Urania that hit Ronald Acuna on the first pitch and was ejected from that game. I think it was him. If it wasn't him.
You were at that game?
Yes.
No way.
And I think it was him. If it was not him, he started it maybe prior. But, yeah, I mean.
Wow. That's exactly what I was going to say. And I brought it up several times on the podcast is I think Acuna had hit, like, leadoff home runs in three or four games in a row. And then Urania gets up there and plunks him first at bat. And I was literally in a Starbucks studying. And I stood up, threw my hands up, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And everybody's looking at me, and I'm like. Sorry.
I had the same exact reaction, except I was surrounded by people who also had that same reaction.
That's crazy. That's such a memorable game for me, and you were there. That's awesome.
That's so funny. Well, Jose Urania, former Tiger.
Yeah.
Last time he pitched 100 innings was in 2021 for Detroit. I'm just looking at that now. So
sleaze bag. Hey, what do you think about all the players that the Braves dumped to the White Sox, Logan?
Well, you know, a lot of them, you know, I couldn't care less about. But, you know, Soroka is hard to see go. You know, it's a guy you root for. But unfortunately, I think a change of scenery is good for him. And I wish him the best. I think he has a lot of potential still.
Yeah, Soroka was a guy that you always were like, man, he's going to take the next step. He's going to be kind of this next big guy. aspirations for kind of like Strider level success, but didn't he get knocked out with two back-to-back pretty brutal injuries, an Achilles and
Achilles twice,
both times. Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first time, I guess, was in a game early in the season in, what was it, 21?
Yeah.
And then he healed from that. He was rehabbing. This is like a year later. He was walking into the clubhouse, and he just happened to tear it again. Just walking
into the clubhouse. Major bad luck. You think he went back to the same surgeon the second time?
I heard he didn't.
I wouldn't think so.
Like superstition or something. You'd be like, you know what? No, we're not going to.
Yeah, I don't think so. For the White Sox, I think this was an awesome trade because Aaron Bubber, relief pitcher, you know, I hope he does well for the Braves. Honestly, I don't know a whole lot about him. But you get potential in Soroka. Him alone for Bummer was probably a win for the White Sox. But then you get Braden Shoemake, who was a first-round shortstop for the Braves. I think he just kind of got log-jammed with an otherwise very solid infield for the Braves. Didn't see a lot of potential there. Nicky Lopez, he was a great bench option last year for the Braves.
He was fantastic. That was a sneaky good move. That is one that you saw. You're like, oh, that's, don't think anything about it. But he was a major contributor down the stretch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for a team like the White Sox, great move for them. I mean, I anticipate he will be starting most of the year. Well,
he's projected.
Another guy, Jared Schuster. Just couldn't put it together with the Braves. Another guy that is fairly highly rated. He's definitely a top 10 prospect for the Braves. They kind of gave him the same trial run that like Bryce Elder's getting right now, Nicky Lopez, Waltrip, Smith Shaver, Braves guys at the moment. But Jared Schuster just never could fit the mold. And I think he got in his head a little bit too and just couldn't put things together. Riley Gallins, I don't know anything about him, but I think this was a great pickup for the White Sox. They basically didn't give anything to get him. So I think that is the biggest move of the offseason for them.
Yeah, I would agree. Other than that, I mean, they're kind of like, hey, screw it. If we throw Yoan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez, and Luis Robert out there enough times with Andrew Vaughn, eventually we're going to, you know,
win a few games.
Because that's the thing is, it's like 3 years ago, you see this, you're like, oh, yes, this is great. And then you see the White Sox records, and now you're like looking at that roster again, and you're like, oh, that lineup is pretty much the same. There's really nothing to get excited about.
Yeah.
Out of those guys, Luis Robert, you know, I've always banged the drum for Robert. I think he really could be a stud. He's had great production. But other than that, I mean, not a whole lot to talk about here.
I think one of the biggest things to talk about, John, is the move that they have not made, at least to this point.
Yes.
Is that Cease. Big time dangle, you know, carrot dangling out there in front of a bunch of teams over the offseason, especially after the owner, I think it was the owner or GM one, came out and said he basically hated his team and he was ready to get rid of everybody. But they just haven't found a suitor yet.
I think he had a bit of a disappointing 2023. You look at 2022, he was kind of in the Cy Young conversation. Last year was a little bit tougher for him. I think Chicago's just waiting until he, you know, picks it up. They're hoping he has a good few starts, a good first half. And then you got to think he's out of there by the deadline.
I think so too.
Yeah. But be interesting. I would take a Dylan Cease.
I'd take
a risk on him. But
a couple guys, just as we kind of finish up the White Sox here. C's obviously good. Michael Kopech has shown spurts at times when healthy. Mike Soroka, Chris Flexen, all these guys in the rotation could all be quality arms. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to be, but wouldn't be surprised all at the same time. So I think the White Sox, if I was having to predict the standings, could compete with Cleveland for the three spot in a scenario. I could see it happening. I don't think they beat out Detroit and nor the Minnesota, but they could push their way up the division a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Be interesting. Well, now that we've kind of finished out our AL Central and we talked about a Chicago team, Let's shift things over to the NL Central and talk about a separate Chicago team. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about the Chicago Cubs here?
Roll it out. Let's do it, John.
Well, the big news for the Cubs here was some issues with losing some guys, right? So you have Marcus Stroman, who opted out of his contract and ends up signing with the Yankees. We talked a little bit about that before. Jamer Candelario became a free agent. He'll be with the Reds. But the big thing here were two big signings, and that was Shota Imanaga signed to a four-year contract, and then also Cody Bellinger, who kind of, you know, was a couple weeks ago re-signed with the Chicago Cubs for a three-year deal with opt-out options after each year. So they keep one of their big surprises last year in Bellinger, and then they also add a arm for Stroman, who's leaving as well. And also they acquired the manager for the Milwaukee Brewers in Craig Counsell. They kind of had an interdivision swap there, which was quite surprising to many. But new skipper with the Cubs. Any thoughts?
I think the biggest signing would be Craig Counsell, if I'm being frank. Craig Counsell is a guy that's just won ball games, and he's done it in a way in, Milwaukee that has always surprised people. Me and John have noted many times, you know, they win games and they win the division when you don't really feel excited about them to start the season. And I think that's a big move for the Cubs. Signing Bellinger back, I think, is awesome, especially since they seem to have gotten him at a little bit of a discount from what he probably expected to get paid throughout the offseason. And he returns to a familiar lineup, which I think is good for a guy like him that can get it in his head a little bit at times. So I love that. I love that, John.
Yeah.
What do you think, John or Logan?
Well, I think you're right. Bellinger, you know, he fits. And I think we all kind of expected him to end up in Chicago. I think he's back on track. I look for him to have a big year. I think he's – they believe in him. He believes in where he's at, and I think he's going to have a big year. The whole Cubs team, really, I mean, they're getting their core. They're all kind of been there a couple of years. I like them. I like the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. I think this is the year they probably break through, in all honesty. I mean, you've got guys like Nico Horner, who's been at it a while. I know you guys I don't even have to bring up Dansby Swanson, right? I know you guys love him as not just a ball player, but also a clubhouse guy. So a little bit of leadership there. Ian Happ, Cody Bellinger, Seiya Suzuki is probably going to have an increase from last year. A guy that really came on my radar last year was Christopher Morel, who had a really solid rookie campaign. And then another guy that popped up, Justin Steele. We haven't talked enough about Justin Steele either, who's been really, I would say, solidified himself as an ace for this rotation last year.
He was a Cy Young candidate going into late into the season last year.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. There's a little bit of question about Jameson Taillon. I know he's having a little bit of hiccup injury-wise already. So there will always be issues with the rotation with the Cubs. But again, you kind of look around this division and you're like, man, you probably got to like Chicago more than just about anybody.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What do we know about Shota? Shota, the starting pitcher. What do we know about him? Where did he come from?
So I believe, let me pull up his stats. He's from Japan.
Japan. Okay. His stats in Japan look great.
Yeah.
If you pull them up, they do look great. So I'm interested to see how he fits in.
Yeah. Only concern here is he's 30 and a half. So, you know, but still, I mean, that doesn't really matter if he's going to give you a couple good years. We'll see how he adjusts the major league game and major league hitting and kind of go from there. But I feel like with a lot of these kind of foreign signings, it's sort of icing on the cake, right? So especially with what you saw out of production from Justin Steele as well.
Yeah. Talking about the transition from a foreign league, wherever you're coming from, I was listening to a guy talk about Suzuki last week sometime. And he had interviewed Suzuki through a translator and talked about how to start the season, okay, his rookie season, he did really well. But then as the league itself adjusted to him, he had a hard time figuring out how to adjust to the league as a whole. Just because, you know, the Japanese leagues that they play in have their own dynamics and their own way of play, which are a lot different than the MLB style of play. And sometimes it can be tough adjusting to that. However, I'm looking at Imagawa's stats, and I know he pitched two and a third inning recently and struck out five. So good potential here with Imagawa, and hope he does well. I'm rooting for the guy.
Be interesting.
One guy that had a rough season last year with a bit of a good pedigree is Michael Busch. He was a guy that was really touted going into last year for the Dodgers, really struggled. He walked a lot, but that was part of his problem is he never swung the bat. Eventually, he kind of got sent down by the Dodgers and then shipped out in a trade with the Cubs. He's projected to be their DH, probably be a utility bat on the infield. Again, a guy with a lot of pedigree. So I'm looking for him to be a guy to keep track of this season.
I think baseball is more fun when the Cubs are good. And some of these names you're throwing around, some of this info you're giving me, Zeke, makes me a little bit more excited.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably the John Shigeran. You're not a big Cubs fan, are you?
I mean, I'm not a big Cubs fan, but I agree with Logan. You know, I'm not a huge Yankees fan, but I always want the Yankees to do well and be competitive. I know the people around here are going to be pretty tiresome if the Cubs do well, but that's okay. I can any baseball banter, if it takes the Cubs playing well for me to have conversations in a day-to-day life with my patients and whatnot, I'm okay with it. I can handle it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. John, give us a little background for the people. Why do the Cubs play so many afternoon games?
It's a tradition. What was it? They usually play afternoon games on Friday, and they only play home games on Friday. They used to be all during the day, I believe. Back in the, you know, I watched some documentary on this. Back in the day, it used to be like all home games were in the day. But then they found that the players were getting really fatigued because they're playing in the sun all the time. It's a little bit more of a demand on them. So then they finally got the lights installed, and then they switched it. But they've always kept the Friday night or Friday afternoon games, and everybody goes day drinking and all that. And it's a big deal.
Yeah. How far away are you from the stadium?
I'm probably like an hour. If I were to drive, probably 45 to an hour. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
pretty good.
That's good.
Sam's a Cubs fan, right?
I mean, yeah, she's
loosely.
She was a Bears fan, and now she's rooting for the Lions.
So. Oh, let's go. Hey, Justin Fields going to be the quarterback next year?
I don't think so. Care?
Don't think so.
I think Caleb Williams. I think they're going to shop. I think they're going to shop Fields. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, baseball podcast.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. So the Cubs. Yeah, I would say from what I'm hearing, the Cubs are kind of a lot of people's picks to win the NL Central. But it's really there's a lot of teams that are kind of in a similar tier. And one team that I think Zeke was really high on last year that we thought would break through but didn't quite make it was the Cincinnati Reds. And if you look at it, you know, there are some losses with Nick Senzel and Harrison Bader. They really lost their heart and soul, though. And I don't know how much you guys have been following him on social media and whatnot, but Joey Votto is no longer tenured by the Cincinnati Reds. So he is, you know, he actually signed a 1-year deal with the Blue Jays, but he's not with Cincinnati anymore. So that's kind of sad, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was sad to see him. I was actually watching the Braves game on TV. I think it was last Thursday, and the ESPN crew had Joey Votto Skyped in or Zoomed in, whatever, and he was talking, and they were talking about, what was it? He was coming up with all these things that he's going to do if he didn't get signed by a team. I think one of them was he's going to leave his grocery carts out in the middle of the streets or something whenever he went shopping. something crazy to that nature. But, man, it was so awesome just hearing him talk about his love for baseball and just the passion that he has. And it's such a passion that you just don't hear from people. And one of those things that's almost inspirational for myself to say, you know, this is this guy's job, and he is so passionate about that. And some days I need a kick in my rear end to say, Zeke, you need to get a little more passionate about your job, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, Joey Votto, he's no longer there. Big loss for the franchise, but I think they departed on good terms, and that's always good to see. One big loss for the Reds that came out sometime in the last 7 days is Neovi Marte.
Yes.
Was projected to be an infield bat for him, third base maybe. Yeah. He got suspended for peds, so some sort of steroid use. He's gone for 80 games, and I think that's going to be a big setback for him, for a guy that was doing well in the spring and was highly doubted.
Yeah. I that's not good, right? There's other pieces there that folks are excited about, but that is a huge loss, especially when you're trying to compete for the division.
My uncle, who is a big time Reds fan, always has been, he speculated that the team knew about this well ahead of time, and that's why they signed Candelario earlier on, because they anticipated this might happen. So I think he's projected to fill their third base position at this point. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. And I'll be honest, Jamer Candelario is a solid pro. He was a long time. He was productive in Washington. He was productive going back to Chicago. And I think he'll do just fine in Cincinnati. I do.
Absolutely.
But the big guy, I mean, guys, Cincinnati Reds, the big guy we're all talking about here is the freak athlete of Ellie De La Cruz. He struggled a bit with strikeouts last year, but that guy is just, he's so fast on the base paths. He's got a little bit of power. This seems like one of those guys who's got the potential to change the game, like a Fernando Tatis, right? Or like, I don't want to say Yasiel Puig because he, didn't end up doing all that much, but you know what I mean? Like he's one of those players that can be such an enigma that the kids love and look up to and wear his jersey all the time.
And yeah, absolutely.
He's got the cool name.
Yep.
He stands out on the field because he's bigger than everybody else. He's got the chains. I'll stop what I'm doing to watch him in an at bat. I'd stop whatever I'm doing. But yeah, can he put it together? Can he have a stretch of a whole good season? I don't know, but he's exciting.
Yes, and that's a good point. Is we've seen those flashes. We've also seen those dips. We've seen pitchers kind of figure him out a little bit and see him really struggle at the plate. I think the big issue last year is he had 427 plate appearances and 144 strikeouts. So that is alarmingly high. But when he's not, I mean, he had 13 home runs. The thing that's crazy is to play in 98 games and steal 35 bases. That's just insane. Right? Like, we can all agree. That's nuts. This guy could steal 50, 60 bags this year. Easily.
Yeah. He is the 100th percentile in sprint speed. So, quite literally one of, if not the fastest player in the league, to go along with one of the best exit velocities and hard hit percentages. He's just really got to work on that K percentage because he is in the third percentile.
Yeah.
So not that
I think
good.
He made. Am I wrong? I think he made his debut against the Braves, and he just went off.
And yeah, I think that's right.
It was frustrating to watch, but it was impressive nonetheless. I mean, you just see the talent.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we'll see if he can make it to the table and help boost the Reds over the hump here. Along with guys like, we'll see what happens with that young rotation that we've talked about in the past. Guys like Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo, can they stay on the diamond? Can they be what we want them to be? Can a guy like Frankie Montas, who it feels like hasn't pitched in forever, he was just added by the Cincinnati Reds. How is he going to look? Same with Nick Martinez. So there's a lot of young talent there, but there's a lot of question marks in Cincinnati. I think we could see things go one of two ways. I'm hoping that it's a positive season for them, but we'll see.
I think the thing about the Reds, I'm still very excited about them. There's just too much talent there, too many high upside players. I just think it's going to take them a little bit to figure out the pieces and where to put them.
Yeah.
I think that's the main thing, whether that's from their lineup perspective or from their pitching. Because you look at their rotation, you got Hunter Green, Ashcraft, who had spurts last year. I think he's put some more speed on his velocity's increased. I think he's added either a curveball or a changeup, because that was one of his problems last year, is he just couldn't strike guys out. So he's working on things. Again, we talked about Montas already. Martinez, who's been out there, Nick Martinez, he's been a good fourth or fifth starter. Just another guy that's there. But Lodolo, and they've even got a couple other guys in the minor leagues that we could see. Really young team. If they put it together, it could be an Orioles, a Braves situation. Let's just see if it happens. It seems like more of a wild card than a sure thing, but yeah, it's possible.
For a wild card berth, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I will be done with the dad jokes, I promise. Okay, so Cincinnati could be interesting. A team that no one's talking about, guys, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. It seemed like everybody saw the Milwaukee Brewers lose their manager, lose their starting pitcher, and now they're acting like this team that went to the playoffs last year is just completely dead in the water. And yeah, sure, fair, right? I think losing Corbin Burns is a big deal. We talked about that in one of our initial podcasts this year. You also lose guys like Rowdy Tellez, Jesse Winker, Carlos Santana, guys that really weren't the biggest. I mean, I'd say out of those guys, probably Rowdy Tellez, you're probably going to miss the most. But you look at this team across the board, yeah, the rotation isn't the three-headed monster that we thought it was, but I look at some of these signings. Hey, you bring Wade Miley, who's a solid starting pitcher. He's not, you know, the sexiest name out there, but he's a pretty solid, dependable guy. You add Gary Sanchez, who really heated it up in San Diego last year behind the plate. And a guy that I really like is Rhys Hoskins, who I feel like never really got a fair shake in Philadelphia, signed to a two-year deal, along with some of that young talent. I mean, Jackson Chirillo hasn't even hit the major leagues, but already has an eight-year contract to play with Milwaukee. What do you guys think about the Brewers? Are you kind of on the side of, they're going to take a step back, or do you think they might be pretty solid?
This is all I'll say about the Brewers. You're right, John. Nobody's talking about them. Nobody's thinking about them. But they're the reigning NL Central champs, right?
Yep, they are. They sure are.
So you can't sleep on them. You owe them some respect. That being said, they're not very exciting. But that's all I'll say.
But I think it's interesting that they're another small market team, kind of like what we talked about with Kansas City, that has to put a lot of faith. They have to kind of sign these guys young and lock them into good team-friendly deals in hope that they progress into superstars. So that's what you're seeing with Jackson Chirillo. That's a huge risk, signing an eight-year contract for a guy who's never even hit the major leagues. I hope it works out for him. But yeah, you're right, Logan. They aren't the sexiest team out there. But I do like what we saw from Sal Frelick last year. You guys know, Ron Contreras, right? Ron Contreras, he didn't play on the Braves, right? I always get Wilson and William confused.
Yeah.
So the other Contreras guy. Christian Yelich had a little bit of a bounce back last year. Rhys Hoskins missed a lot of, I mean, I think he missed almost all of last season, but he's shown a little bit of power before. I like Willie Adames. I like Garrett Mitchell. I'm trying to talk myself into it. You got Joey Ortiz coming over in that Corbin Burns trade. He's probably going to start as well. Their team is very young, very, very young, and you don't have as much experience at manager as you did before with a guy who did a lot with a little. But I don't think they're going to completely fall off a cliff.
Agreed, John.
You agree?
Okay. I agree. Their core team is more or less the same outside of a few of the guys that you mentioned they lost, but I think there's enough there. I think there's enough continuation continuity there, I guess is the word I'm looking for, to where there's no reason why they can't put things together. I agree completely on the Hoskins signing. Hoskins was a guy as a Braves fan that I always hated facing, always hated when he was at the plate because he's such a big bat. And when he's been healthy, he's been really good. I mean, they signed a good quality hitter when they got Hoskins to go with an overall very well-rounded lineup. Now, I don't know a lot about Trio specifically, but I do know that I've heard people make comps and say he has the type of potential of a guy like Soto. Which anytime you throw Soto's name out there, that raises some eyebrows, you know. So we'll see. A guy like that could really be a game changer because obviously if he puts up rookie Soto numbers, then it doesn't matter what else is around him because he's gonna raise the tide there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, we'll see. I think, you know, another thing to consider is, you know, we've always talked about, we've hopped on here, Zeke, and we've talked about, oh, you've got Burns, you got Woodruff, you've got Freddie Peralta. Now you just got Freddie Peralta left. And I know you re-signed Brandon Woodruff after cutting him, which was kind of a weird deal, but he's probably not pitching this year. And then you've got a lot of question marks behind that. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, yeah, this is a playoff team last year, so we'll see what happens. But I think they'll be in the mix, but I think the Cubs and the Reds are just a little bit more exciting. And there's another team right behind them who could bounce back this year as well. So we'll see what happens with the Brewers, the team up north of me. But let's talk a little bit about our St. Louis Cardinals here. I know we've spent plenty of time bashing them through the years, and rightfully so, especially after their disappointment last year. But a little bit of, actually quite a bit of movement. You lose a guy in Adam Wainwright, who's presumably retired, in Dakota Hudson as well. But the Cardinals completely revamped their starting rotation. I mean, you think about a team that did this recently, think about the Texas Rangers, right? Now, the Cardinals didn't go out and get Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer, but you add Lance Lynn to a one-year deal. You add Kyle Gibson to a one-year deal. And then Sonny Gray, who, in my opinion, is the best addition of them all, to a three-year deal, even though he's currently dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue. I like those additions. I like revamping the starting pitching, which was definitely a weakness of theirs last season.
Absolutely, John. They're really going with the veteran presence here.
Yeah.
With all their signings, and
color me shocked, Zeke. They're going with
the veteran nursing home society there in St. Louis. They love their old guys, even down to Brandon Crawford in the lineup. But I don't get excited about it. I do think they're the sort of team that they could push a wild card spot. Just that kind of team that they put things together, they certainly can do that. Not a team that I'm really, really expecting to have big things. Interesting story. I actually had a patient recently who came in, and he's a big baseball guy, was saying he had been in the minor leagues. I think it was with, may have been the Brewers, actually. Said he was with the Brewers for a little bit, made it up to the show for a couple starts, and then, you know, eventually he kind of worked his way out of it. But then he said he transitioned into being a pitching coach, which is very common for former players. And Lance Lynn was actually one of his products back in the day.
Wow. There you go.
So I said, Lance Lynn, like the hothead Lance Lynn? He said, oh, yeah. I helped him out. I was his pitching coach for a while. And I said, that's awesome, man. Too cool. So fun fact there, Lance Lynn, always loved watching him. Oh, one more thing on him. Sorry, and then Logan, I'll let you jump in. Did y'all see where Lance Lynn got tossed out of a spring training game the other day? Did you see that, John?
I did not. No, I'll have to look it up. John,
hey, who do you think the umpire was?
Probably Angel Hernandez.
Yes. How did you guess?
That's it. Yeah. Wow. What a shocker, huh?
Yeah. So yeah, evidently Hernandez was chirping at the dugout, and Lance Lynn said something to him. So he gave him the toss, and it was awesome.
Of course.
Thanks, John Boy, for that.
There you
or
go.
Maybe his pitching ninja. I can't remember. But anyways, Lance Lynn, one of the veterans, one of the old people. Gotta love the Cardinals.
Yeah, you kind of expected it. You know, being a free agent, you just said Lance Lynn going back to the Cardinals. He's what, 37? Is he 30? Is that right?
Yeah.
So perfect fit. I mean, you get rid of Wainwright. You get, I don't know how old he is now. 40,
52, 53, something like that.
All right.
You get rid of him, and you think maybe it's time for these young guys to come in and finally have their time, but no.
Then they trade Jack Flaherty. They're like, we're done with him. You know, our product who we've been grooming forever of the St. Louis Cardinals pitching development factory that we hear so much about. And they go out and sign three geezers, right?
Yeah.
You know, last season was enjoyable for me for many reasons. Mm-hmm. But one thing I enjoyed last season was waking up every morning, having my cup of coffee, turning on the St. Louis local radio sports talk, and just listening to those guys just melt down, just have absolute fits about their season. and it was enjoyable for me. But part of the problem, according to a lot of people around, was Flaherty and O'Neill. Those were just rumors. I don't know. But it seems like they got rid of them pretty quick after last season.
Well, the thing about Jordan Walker after a little bit of a hot start.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good player. He's a Georgia product, big guy. He's kind of like Ellie De La Cruz, except the Cardinals version in two ways, like boring. Like he's a boring guy. He's not going to get you excited, but he's got talent.
Absolutely. Big boy, they can hit the ball a long ways. That's for sure.
I think he'll have a more consistent year. I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I feel like with the Royals, I know Zeke said, oh, it can't get much worse. With the Cardinals, I really feel like things can't get much worse than it did last year. The ceiling really fell. I think part of that was moving on from, you know, you heard a lot about it. And Logan, I'm sure you heard plenty of guys calling in talking about how much the pitchers miss Yadier Molina, right? So there was a transition with the catcher who had been holding down and helping those pitchers develop forever. And even with Contreras in his big deal to go to St. Louis, there was a lot of turmoil there. People were like, man, is this the right guy for the job? They're talking about moving on from him shortly after acquiring him. So Nolan Arenado needs to step up. Paul Goldschmidt needs to have another good year. Like some of these staples in the offense are starting to kind of, you know, not be as productive as they were before. And they need those staples to really step up if they want to do anything this year at all. Yeah, we'll see. I think Sonny Gray is a great addition. Miles Michaelis is still there. We'll see what happens there, but do you guys think St. Louis can actually win the division? Is there a scenario where you see it happening?
Because I do. I can see it. Can see it. Yeah. You know, after last season, I think Arenado, they said he had a down year, which he did for his standards, but he's a guy that's going to be motivated, and he's the type of guy that he's not going to let it happen again, I don't think. So him and Goldschmidt, if they both rebound, get a couple of the other guys to step up. Brendan Donovan, I like him. Contreras, he's going to be good. You throw in Gorman if he has another good season, 30 home runs. I think they could be competing for the top of the division for sure. And how fun would it be to have a Cardinals and Cubs race at the end? I think that would be fun.
Yeah, just like the good old days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we'll see with St. Louis. A lot of question marks there, but I think again we're going to see a correction to the inevitably disastrous season of 2023. There's no doubt. So, well, last team here, not much to talk about at all. We're talking about the team that really doesn't want to win the NL Central. That really isn't trying to win the NL Central. And that is the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I think last year, Zeke, I posed the question to you when I was kind of looking through the Pirates and the Reds, and we were talking about which team do you think has a brighter future? I think a year later, it's pretty clear that it's the Cincinnati Reds, because Pirates are looking pretty rough these days.
Oh, yeah, not a doubt there. No doubt there.
There's some decent things, right? Like O'Neill Cruz, freak injury last year, right? He's going to be back. He's got to be better. Brian Reynolds, he's pretty consistent, right? They re-signed him, which we like. Cabrian Hayes is in there. You got Andrew McCutchen back. A lot of people are circling Henry Davis, but I mean, he played in the outfield a lot last year. He really didn't move the needle a whole lot, especially for being a number one overall draft pick. I don't know, man. I just don't see a whole lot of excitement and maybe some great plays from O'Neill Cruz. I know he can throw the ball real fast, so that'll be fun to watch. But
if only that won you ball games, right, John?
If only that one was ball. That's right.
The thing that's interesting to me is I don't expect the Pirates to do well. However, they did start out the season with one of those hot stretches that nobody saw coming. With good play from guys like Jack Sawinski that I think going into the season nobody had ever heard of. They're not going to win the division. They're not going to win a wild card spot. I think that it's quite possible, especially if Cruz stays healthy, that they win more games than they did last year. But they definitely have a lot to work on. A questionable signing for me was the Mitch Keller extension.
Yeah.
Did anybody else think that was interesting?
You didn't like it?
I mean, it's fine. And I guess if as a franchise, you really need to have somebody signed to a long-term deal to build off of. But Mitch Keller is another guy that's just been wishy-washy. He'll have his spurts, but he's been sporadic and unreliable at best. Am I wrong about this?
What kind of deal did he sign? What was it?
5 years. How much?
It was It was 5 years for $77 million.
So I guess that's not a bad deal.
It's not bad
from a team perspective.
You look at it too when you kind of dive into his stats. ERA is a little bit higher, 3.91 in 2022 and 4.21 in 2023. But he started 30 games last two seasons. Yeah. Which is pretty good. You're looking at the strikeouts. He had 210 strikeouts last year, so he's making a lot of guys whiff. So the thing is they got to do something, Zeke.
Yeah.
I'm at least glad that they're taking their homegrown talent, and I'm glad they got a deal done to keep Brian Reynolds. I'm glad they're not trading all these guys, especially their young core, if you want to call it that. But yeah, Pittsburgh, they're going to have to play the small ball way. And their front office has shown that they really don't like spending a lot of money. So that's really the story here is you got to hope that Henry Davis takes the next step forward and that O'Neill Cruz and Cabrian Hayes are able to stay healthy as well. And I know Cabrian Hayes, his rookie season looked like he was setting the world on fire, but kind of slowed down a little bit. So hopefully he's able to get back to it as well.
Yeah. One thing I will commend them on is they did do the thing that I think you should do in this franchise's position. They went out and signed Chapman, who didn't really have a great second half after being traded, but still signed him to a small deal, trade him at the deadline.
Everybody needs
definitely a power arm.
Everybody needs bullpen depth when the calendar turns to April or to August.
Martin Perez, former Rangers. Had a great season. Was it last year or two seasons ago?
I think it was 2 years ago. Last year was kind of an afterthought.
Yeah. So, take a shot on him for $8 million.
Yeah.
A couple of guys they could trade at the deadline, but
Rowdy
not
Tellez.
A whole lot of talking points here.
Rowdy Tellez, you know, hey, who knows?
Rowdy.
Seems like they always do something at first base, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. Any thoughts on the Pirates, Logan, or are you just kind of
I got nothing.
Series victories against the Pirates and leave it at that.
Yeah. I think Pittsburgh is a good sports town and they do deserve better. So it's kind of sad to see.
It is. It is. Because this has been the same conversation we've been having for the past decade, you know.
Yeah. Last thing on the Pirates. Do we see Paul Skenes this year?
Ooh. I hope so. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. I could see them also doing a deal where they try to lock him up real quick. And maybe he has a, you know, before he hits the major leagues or maybe he pitches a little bit at the end of this year, I could see him getting signed to a team-friendly deal pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Guy seems to be electric, and I think he's pitched well in spring training too.
Yeah, people are stunned by him, and I hope he does pan out.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it, guys. That's about all we got to talk through. We got through two divisions once again, which is great. So yeah, doing well. We went a little over our hour by about 20 minutes, but that's okay. We had three people on the podcast. Come on.
We didn't give our picks yet though. We
okay. Oh, you want to get picks? All right.
Let's get some picks. Let's do it.
Logan came here to pick. Logan, what are your?
I'll start us off.
Yeah, give it to us.
AL Central. Okay. I've got Twins in first, Tigers finishing second, okay. Guardians, White Sox, Royals.
Okay. Zeke, what do you think? I'm going to do this. I'm going to go 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think you guys will figure out why pretty soon. Number five, I'm going to go with my – I'm actually going to go Chicago. I'm going to go with the White Sox here. I think things fall off the rails. I think they move some pieces at the deadline. They just have a – the bomb falls out. Fourth, I'm going to go Kansas City. I want to put Cleveland at four, but I'm going to put Kansas City just for a little bit of buffer. I just don't like what they have in the roster. I'm kind of agreeing with Logan here. Number three, I'm going to go with Cleveland. I think Cleveland, they probably trade Bieber at some point. Maybe even Tanner Bibby. We'll see what happens there. But I don't see much going on with Cleveland. Number two, I'll say the Minnesota Twins, number two.
Oh!
I predicted it.
See it coming.
Of course, right? What a homer, huh? I'm predicting the Detroit Tigers shift things around. Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green, and Kerry Carpenter hit some bombs, and that rotation leads us to a division title.
See? Understandable. John, or boys, I'm going to go with the Royals in last, even though I was trying to hype them up.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with the Guardians in fourth place. I am bumping the White Sox up to third place in the division. They just got enough. They got enough high-end players. I think they can do it. Sorry, John, but I'm going Tigers second. I am going Twins in first. I'm definitely rooting for Detroit, but I think Minnesota just edges you out.
Ah, well.
Shame, I know. But
that's fine.
The truth shall set you free. NL Central, John, what's your predictions here? What do we got going?
So I'm going to go, man, I keep going back and forth here. I'm going to go Chicago one. I'm going to go with the Cubs. I like what they did with some of their signings, getting Cody Bellinger back. And I think a lot of those, they were really darn close to potentially getting to the playoffs last year, and things kind of fell off towards the end. I think they power through this year, especially with Craig Counsell at the helm. Number two, I'm going to go with St. Louis, I think. I think I'm going to go with St. Louis. Wow. I think they're going to bounce back. I really do. And then I think I'm going to go with Cincinnati at three. Milwaukee at four. Even though I do like Milwaukee, I think they'll take a step back with the lack of leadership, just being a young team, and then Pittsburgh at five.
I am going to go, I'm going to start from the bottom, Pirates at the bottom. Okay. Yeah. Then I'm going with Cardinals. I just don't believe in them. Okay. They got the veteran presence. They do have really good players in Arenado and Goldschmidt with some talent to get around them, but I'm going to be a little bold here. And put them second to last. Then I'm going with the Brewers. I do think they do a little better than what John's projecting them to do. And then I want to do it, but I'm not going to. I am going to go with the Reds in second place. They've got so much talent that's there, electric talent. I think they're going to be a rising team, and I think this time next year we're going to be talking about them being a lock for first place. But I do think the Cubs edge them out based on the experience that they have in recent years. I do think Council is a great win for them. Dansby Swanson is just a winner. I don't know that the Reds have that player yet. And I think Dansby leads them to a division win. So that's what I'm going with. What say you, Logan?
Well, I think this division could go a lot of different ways, and you can see that with our answers here. But I'll start with last, Pirates. Fourth, Reds. Third, okay. Brewers.
Okay.
And then I think it's going to come down to the very end between the Cubs and the Cardinals. It's going to be a fun race, I think. And I'm going to have the Cardinals slightly taking the edge and winning.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, we are split on this. Like you said, man, that just points to how crazy this division could be.
Mm-hmm. Now, one last question for you guys. Okay, so this applies to both the AL Central and the NL Central. Do you think there's a chance, or do you think it's likely or unlikely that one of these divisions gets two playoff teams, whether it be in the AL or the NL? Do you think there's a division champion and a wild card team in either of these divisions?
I have no idea. No. I think everybody gets in the playoffs these days. So,
that's true. So six teams get in, right? So that means there's three wild card spots. If I'm looking at the NL, I think Arizona, San Francisco, maybe San Diego gets one. And I think Philly and Atlanta are pretty much locks to get in. So I think it's possible, but
unlikely. I think the AL is more likely than the NL.
You think so? Just because it's a little bit more wide open.
Yeah. I don't think NL Central gets a wild card, but I do think AL.
Interesting.
I think Minnesota and Detroit can make it in.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope that happens. I would be very happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see. Well, Logan, thank you once again for jumping on. Love to have you here. Love catching up with you. Any parting words of wisdom?
Hey, just thanks, John, Zeke. It's been great. It's been fun. We'll do it again. And I really like the intro you put together, John.
Oh, you like
it? Yes. Yes.
That's right. I did add that last year. Or last week. I spent about 30 minutes recording and posting that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And this is awesome. You also will check anybody's eyes any given day.
That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, guys, have a great night. Next week, we're going to be back with the West divisions. And I believe Justin's hopping on. Is that right?
Maybe. I'm going to try to get him on here.
Okay. We'll see what happens. No pressure, Justin. No pressure at all. But until then, enjoy some spring training, and we'll catch you guys later.
All right.